This is Diana Stinn.
And Jill Mann.
And we're here for our
Squatcast!
Woohoo! Hey, we got it right this time.
Yeah. Well, it takes like every time.
Anyways, listen, we're going to fall back into our little bit of a traditional kind of format for this episode. And so we thought we would cover some wing feathers, a little bit of nest news, a quick update for those bird brains out there. Ooh. And then finally, our last section will be under our wing, and we'll talk about our free range learning book by Laura Grace Weldon. So, hey, Jill, I understand that you got some donations this week.
I did. I'm very excited. I got 23 gallons of paint donated from my Canigan at Benjamin Moore Paints, and he just, we couldn't even paint and repaint as much as we do without his great donations.
You know what? I think our creation studio, though, is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
But, you know, the floor is smoothing out quite nicely. There are some really deep concrete divots. I think at the end of 10 years, it's going to be just like an ice rink in there.
There you go. Well, thank you very much for those paint donations. Mm-hmm. You deserve a wing feather there, buddy. You help us fly a little bit higher. But I understand you got an anonymous donation.
We did. In a wild and wonderful random act of awesomeness, we had a table saw donated to us. It's new to us, but it's still head and shoulders above anything we have here. So we are very excited about that, and with any luck, it will be delivered today.
Woohoo! So that sounds exciting.
Thank you to that wonderful, wonderful
Mr. Anonymous.
Mr. Anonymous.
So on our nest news, so for those of you who are new to our podcast, our nest is our building.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're a bunch of old hens. We're squawking about homeschooling here. And all of our little, what do we used to call our little kids when we called them our chicklets? What do we call them? Our nestlings.
Nestlings.
Nestlings. Yeah. Anyways.
Hatchlings.
Our hatchlings. Yes. Anyways, just a note about our library. We did send out a little email about our library history. Do you remember the good old days? Like, we had a one little tiny room that our parents all snuggled in.
Yes, they really got cozy. That room was about the size of a very modest-sized living room.
Yep.
And they all just crowded in there.
And so it was an excellent sharing space for all kinds of things. But now we're very excited that we have a much bigger library space for people to be able to sit, socialize, and to share in.
Yep.
But there are some things around there that we need to remind people. It is a common area, so we do need people to keep it clean.
Yes, so if themselves or their children, you know, make a mess, there's always brooms and vacuums and wipes around, and please clean up behind yourselves.
Absolutely. And just remember, we have a change table. So if you have little guys and you are changing diapers, please don't change them on our couches. Please mosey on over to the gender-neutral bathroom and use our change table.
Mm-hmm. That's the big bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Have you noticed that we have a few more parking spots in the front?
I have noticed that. Who did you threaten to arrange that?
Well, actually, the work guys across the street have been pretty excellent, I have to say. So shout out to MathWorks and the other construction crew across the street. Thank you so much for being considerate of our parents and trying to park elsewhere. We really appreciate that. But listen, if you come in and things are full, there are a few places you can park. You can park in the back by the dumpster, by the garbage bin. You can park in the laneway in the back up on the grass. But remember, it is an active laneway, so, you know, remember not to block it.
Mm-hmm.
You can park on the street. Be a little cautious. There are a few no parking places. Mm-hmm. And please don't park in front of the fire hydrant.
Or block the entrance in and out of the parking.
Oh, yes. Hey, that happened one day. Anyway, hey, on Saturday, we're having our very first
feast.
Yeah. Hey, and we were talking a little bit about the kinds of food we're going to have. I think we're having snake sandwiches.
What? No chicken?
I'm pretty sure we'll have to find a way to somehow have chicken.
I know, because that's my whole shtick, man.
But feast is a fantastic time for everybody to come together.
And we share.
Share, we explore the creation studio, and then we share a meal, we share some games and activities, and then we close down the creation studio, and your team gets to work.
Tear it apart.
Absolutely. And they tear it all down and start working on the next theme, which is heroes and
villains.
And are you excited?
I am excited. I'm really liking how this is all coming together. We've just been having a lot of fun, and we're oddly enough recycling some old things.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've had a few old favorite items, you might just see them with a little bit of a new outfit or makeover. I love it when that happens.
Okay, so guys, double check with the front desk if you're looking to register for classes, because a whole schwack of classes are already full.
Yep.
Yay!
I know, I'm loving this. People are so excited and enthusiastic to come to classes. I have a lot of fun. I love seeing all the faces around.
Right, but remember, all of our stuff here is optional with regards to the classes and enrichment programming that we offer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your kids are sick and it is that time of year, please don't feel obligated to come.
And also realize we have little wall-mounted Purell things all over this school.
Absolutely. Every room has a hand sanitizer. Yeah, please. Pump. Okay, listen, our next little segment here is Bird Brains. And in this section, we quite often feature famous homeschoolers and stuff like that. But this time around, we're featuring Alberta Education. sorry, guys. No snide marks really intended there. Alberta Education has a lot of stuff on the go right now. It started a few years ago with Inspiring Education, and now we have a new Education Act that will come into play in 2015.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. But in order for the new act to come online, they have to rewrite and update all of the regulations. So the regulations are the details.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of them that are up for rewrites. And last week, I had the opportunity to participate in a regulation review, public consultation, and it was fantastic. There were people there, seriously, Jill, from all over the place. We had private schools, public schools, Catholic schools, heritage language schools, homeschoolers, charter schools. I think there was somebody there from every aspect of education.
Well, and I think you had said that they were even there from the admin side right down to the in the trenches homeschooling parent.
Absolutely.
Representing themselves.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we had great representation. I attended four of the sessions, one on private schools, one on home education regulations, one on school fees, and one on teacher, I can't remember.
It was standards or something like that. Things like that.
Anyways, all four sessions were very good, and I learned lots about actually how the other guys operate. Yeah, so that was good. It was a good sharing session. Mm-hmm. Like I said, some good information. If you would like to contribute to the regulations and put your ideas in, if you go to Alberta Education's website, they actually have a workbook where you can do the exact same things we did at the consultation. Look at the workbook, put your feedback, your thoughts, your ideas, and that goes to a third-party consultation group who's going to collect all the data, analyze it, and then write a report for Alberta Education.
Now, do you have to completely fill out this complete workbook, or can you just do sections?
Yeah, just sections. Good question, Jill, because honestly,
I'm full of them.
Full of questions?
Full of them.
Well, you're full of it. That's something else. Anyways, so very interesting times, because right now Alberta Education is also prototyping new curriculum. And prototyping is where basically people are developing stuff on the fly.
Stuff on the fly? That sounds like it's meant for us.
I know. So very exciting. All right, our final little segment here is Under Our Wing. And this is our section where we actually offer some support. And we are talking about free range learning.
Our favorite book.
Absolutely. So let's have a look here. We are on page 31. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's talking about the nature of interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, this is in a lot of ways the heart and the soul of free range learning.
Well, actually, right off the top of the bat, I really like the quote right off the top.
What does it say?
It says, "You cannot teach a man anything. You can only help him find it within himself." And
it's Galileo.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I know.
Okay, so some of the things that we really captured our attention out of all of this. I've noticed over the years, people often say, especially when they don't have sort of a deep understanding of homeschooling and they're brand new to it, and they say, how do I motivate my child? And I find it an interesting question because I think we've seen with our own children, if it's work page after work page, there is nothing that motivates for that.
Nope.
Not for a long term anyway.
No. No. Sometimes they get a kick out of seeing a big stack next to them that they're done. But that really doesn't hold very well.
No, it doesn't. But when children are motivated by self-interest, you don't need to do anything.
Nope.
Those kids learn.
Just keep shoving stuff in front of them.
Exactly. Exactly. So in the book, it talks about, Laura mentions, rewards, bribes, and grades can't possibly provide the sort of motivation that children find in their own increasing competence. Mm-hmm. And that is so incredibly true. Mm-hmm. We both noted that we liked the little study that was outlined in the book, and it was the development of talent research project.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
I think it would be a very cool project. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you're interested in bugs? Why are you interested in dinosaurs? Like I said, just why do you like yarn, Jill?
I find it relaxing.
And this is sort of the key thing. Like, why do we like the things we like? Mm-hmm. Today with our teens, we actually did a little bit of that. They had to design a CD cover that was representative of themselves. Mm-hmm. And they had ideas and they had passions and they had things they liked to do. And one of it was, what does this do for you? Mm-hmm. What do you get out of this? What do you feel strong when you do this? Do you relax when you do this? Is this for enjoyment? Is this? And so there's lots of secondary motivation when we explore our passions.
Well, I also kind of liked you had brought, and we'll go ahead and use that again because, you know, we love to guinea pig our teenagers. Diana brought a very interesting brochure on getting your pilot's license, just because we've been talking about, you know, what are you interested in and how do you get there? Mm. And, you know, it related some interesting things, you know, like what were the prerequisites and all that kind of boring stuff. But, you know, one of the prerequisites was physics. Yep. You know, when they're sitting there doing their physics, they might not be very motivated and going, why is this going to serve me?
Right.
Well, right there. If your dream was to be a pilot,
you need physics. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. And that was part of what came out of the Speak Out project with teens across Alberta, was that they need to know that their learning is connected to their life. Mm-hmm. And when they cannot see that there's a connection, then their learning is meaningless and they're not engaged in it.
Exactly.
I like the little quote that is on page 34 in the little dark highlighted box. Mm-hmm. And it says, children flourish when they are not the center of attention. Instead, they want to center their own attention.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
I dislike those kids that are the focus of a parent's attention. Or I dislike the ones that aren't the center of their attention. That the child is wandering off, jumping on things, wrecking things, and nobody seems to notice.
Yeah.
That's very frustrating.
Yes.
However, I think the other side is equally bad when a parent is paying too much attention.
Yeah. You need to step back, and everything they do can't always be fabulous. You know, I mean, my daughter would pull these little things when she was little and she'd take a piece of paper because, you know, she'd draw a really nice picture for, you know, six. And, you know, we'd be like, oh, that's wonderful, dear. And then she'd test it and she'd just scribble on a paper and then go, isn't this beautiful? And I'd go, no, you just scribbled on it.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. Our children's interests also come and go.
Yes.
Right? So just because at six they were interested in something, then, like I said, it doesn't necessarily mean at 16 they're interested in the same kinds of things.
Absolutely not.
Laura talks about who knows what sparks an interest. Most of these phases don't last, but they do deepen the child's sense of competency as well as teach many new, often interrelated concepts. And that was one of the things we talked about today with the teens, was the fact that lots of times the things that you might explore connect with and hook into other things. And we were talking about you today and about you painting in the psych ward.
And they let me out.
I know. I'm glad. I'm very, very glad.
Yeah, I know.
Were you worried?
There was actually a couple of moments, yeah. It was actually a very interesting job. It was very interesting, and You know,
but who knew that an interest in psychology and looking at mm-hmm. what those patients needed would actually translate into you doing murals and designing and decorating their space for exactly. their best advantage.
Exactly. A good environment improved their
outcomes.
Their outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it is important, I think, when we talk about free-range learning to sort of understand that a child also has to have some responsibility for their own learning, too.
Yes, they do.
And I think that children find optimum nurturing and are able to learn best when adults are able to adapt the learning situation to the needs of the child rather than forcing the child to meet institutional requirements. We saw that even, again, bubbling back to our teens. So last year, the person that was in charge of our teen program really sort of downplayed things. And he really wanted the kids to sort of take all the lower streams. Did you notice something interesting today? So when we asked the kids what courses they were thinking of next.
Yep. The Dash 1 strand.
And they were interested in trying to do 1-2 skip a few.
They were at least curious if, can I take this and skip those? If I take those, you know, am I allowed to, or do I get retroactive credits, or sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But they were inquiring about their own futures and the paths they would take. I was very pleased.
I was too, and I was pleased that they were willing to take a bit of a risk, understanding what the consequences are, but also taking it in a safe environment where if it didn't work out, it didn't totally destroy their future prospects.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was excited. They were reaching higher. Woo! Absolutely. Hey, you know, though, a lot of this information today came about because we had a conversation. So on page 43 there, it's talking a little bit about our incidental daily conversations are extremely valuable.
You know, it's those conversations over the dinner table. I like trapping them in a car. To and from places, soccer matches, or even the grocery store are great chances.
Absolutely. Conversation is in short supply these days in the lives of children. Laura Grace Weldon talks about the fact that it is estimated that once directives are taken out, so, you know, pick up your socks and those kinds of things, that basically the average parent is spending less than 5 minutes a day talking to their kid.
That's so sad.
It is
really interesting, and they have a very, really, each age group has such an interesting point of view about the same topic and how they process it and what it means to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And how, you know, so much of the information we take in as adults is taken in through conversation.
Yes. Yes.
So, and yet we don't do the same kinds of things with our kids. The more we can converse with them, the stronger their language skills are, the stronger their critical thinking skills are. And I think they also create a stronger sense of self.
Well, I think they're able to kind of, they take in, you know, perhaps they ask an opinion of several different people that for whatever reason has hit their radar. And, you know, they'll poll. We'll call it that. They'll poll various people for their opinions. And then from that...
I think they call that gossip. We do that too.
Well, you know, I have to say, my son polls less, obviously, than my daughter.
Yep.
He is very quiet and very subtle in it. And you're sometimes not even aware it's happened until later. With my daughter, it was very interview-based, and you definitely felt the light in your eyes and knew you were being grilled about something, a topic. And then she would take all of that information, and then you'd start to notice over the next few months her own kind of combination opinion coming out about that as she processed. Always harder to track in my son, but with my daughter, it was always very easy to track her process.
You talked about
having a captive audience in a car.
But you know, we were looking at and thinking maybe it's time that we upgraded our poor old baby and got a new car. And one of the things I really disliked was the fact that they had CD players and stuff like that in the back seat. Yeah. And I was I was really distressed because we have had fantastic conversations in the car mm-hmm. too about things we see or where mm-hmm. we're going. I noticed that my kids have a really decent sense of direction because they have to look out the window.
Actually, that makes no difference. I look out the window and drive all the time and I never know where I am. I think it's an inner bird brain thing.
But I worry, though, that we're even taking opportunities like that mm-hmm. and adding more screen time.
Well, absolutely. I mean, not the van I have now, but the van I had several years ago. It was when they were first coming out with the screens that popped down out of the ceiling and stuff like that. And oddly enough, when we got our van, that was what was in it. And, you know, we really didn't like it. And even the kids didn't much like it. It was a novelty to begin with, but it was the most useless upgrade that we've ever been given. And actually, we never used it past the first probably 6 months.
Yep.
And everybody agreed when we got the new vehicle that that was something that absolutely did not need to be there. And that was from both kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very interesting. One of the things that the chapter that we're exploring right now talks about is that free-range learning has parallels to the growing movement of sustainable diets. And, you know, going back to what we were talking about with the regulation reviews, and I got to say, homeschooling families, the families that were there, the parents, really contributed. Mm-hmm. The issue partially was a language one, so yep. they didn't know the proper
lingo.
Yeah, and yep. they were struggling with that, mm-hmm. but they had deep and rich and thoughtful contributions. Yep. And I was very proud of our fellow home educators.
You know, they are lifelong learners, and they are interested in this, and they want the best for their children, and they have done the best that they can to learn within a short period of time, some of them.
Yep.
Because the lingo is really tricky, and unless you're kind of immersed in it,
yeah,
and have to learn it, it's hard to pick it up, especially when you're talking to other people who are speaking the same lingo.
Right.
But then you walk into their offices and you kind of find out, you know, maybe they're talking about, you know, Spartan apples and you're talking about Macintosh apples. Yeah,
exactly. Well, but what's interesting, though, is that a homeschooling environment is a little micro environment. It's mm-hmm. very local. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what we're seeing in the new initiatives that are coming out are talking about local versus large.
Yep.
And so the same as sustainable diets and other sorts of grassroots movements is we're talking about the need to be local and to develop programs that are specific for our communities or, in this case, our kids.
Yeah, and being involved in those, not just developing right. them and then letting them kind of dangle out there, but involvement.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I don't like screen time. It's yep. because it lets it dangle out there and nobody ever, unless you consciously... after you've had the screen time, take time and effort to draw the strings down mm-hmm. and to say, okay, what you saw connects to your life in mm-hmm. this way. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just out there and it never, ever connects in a meaningful way to the children's lives.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's where education is at right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting, and we did a little blog post about this. Parent called and asked, should I vote for a school board trustee?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. School board trustees handle millions of dollars, and 96% of our students in this province go through one of the two public systems.
Yep.
96%. Yep. Absolutely, you should vote. And you should be asking those trustees, what do you think about home education? Mm-hmm. What do you think about private schools? Mm-hmm. What do you think about choice? Those are all important things that your school board trustees need to have an opinion on, and one that favors those things.
So feel free to read that blog post for more wonderful questions you can ask your trustees. I have to laugh. I wonder how those offices are right now with the people who are going with their checklist yeah. and giving a call.
Well, and I have to say, home educators are really good at that kind of stuff. They will yeah. take the time to go in and ask. Mm-hmm. So if you want more information, our website is www.phoenixfoundation.ca. And it's the post that's currently up on the blog site. All right, so let's finish up here a little bit, Jill, putting our interests in perspective. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed out of this chapter was parents quite often say, how can I possibly teach it all?
Oh, you can't.
I don't even know how you think you could.
No, you know, again, it's... You know, I hate to word it that way, you know, because it's so catchphrase in some ways, but you know, it takes a village, you know, I know for trigonometry, it definitely has taken a village because I don't know it. Fortunately, my son loves it and he has lots of wonderful support, yep. None of which are me other than, yay, you.
So from the book, Laura points out, thankfully, parents don't need to have all the answers. They sustain a child's curiosity best as facilitators. Mm-hmm. They provide a home environment rich with reading materials, learning supplies, and ample time for discovery-based learning. They support the child's interest with resources in the community, and they empower the child to find answers, their own answers. I think that's really important.
I think it is, too.
Absolutely. And so on the page 49 there, mm-hmm. There's a chapter there that talks about strewing.
Oh, I love that because it suddenly makes me not messy. I can embrace that.
I love this strategy. We were talking about, posting grammar rules above the toilet, leaving cookbooks lying around, whatever.
Yep.
I mean, if the kid trips over it, maybe they'll pick it up and look at it.
Yeah, I have to say, I really, really always left posters up around my dining room table because, again, we tend to eat together, so that's a place we're at.
I think another topic that she brings up is the fact that it's a common perception that children should stick with an interest once they have begun it in order to help them develop a sort of staying power.
That drives me crazy. I hate that statement.
Do you?
I really do. I have always hated it. I got in trouble when I took, well, I didn't get in trouble, but, you know, I felt a lot of pressure when I took Sarah out of school to homeschool her. And the big thing they were saying is, how will she ever learn to stick it out and to get through a difficult thing? And my argument was, well, we found that this isn't working for us, so we're going to try something different.
Right. And I think it's the same with interests, right? Mm-hmm. We have to teach our kids some balance. You know, if you've ponied up and paid for something for a whole year and it's going to cost you a fortune to then change your mind.
Or you've signed up for a team and you're letting a team down. I definitely say you're in it for the haul. You committed to that. But when my daughter wanted to be a vet at one point and she was all about a vet and then she realized, you know, sadly we dealt with the death of one of our pets. And she realized she was going to have to deal with that all the time. And she decided, actually, that would not be a good choice.
But they need to be able to have the ability to back out of things.
Yeah.
I think a lot of older adults, unhappy older adults, have never been allowed to back out.
No.
And they've started down a path. Mm-hmm. And instead of realizing they're on the wrong path, stopping, backing up, and going down the right path, they continue down and they just get further stuck and, mm-hmm. and more stuck and deeper stuck. And they wake up as 60-year-old adults who are very unhappy with the life that they are stuck in.
Yeah, exactly. And how sad is that?
Absolutely.
You know, try different things on. You know, sometimes that takes a braveness with a little touch of lunacy. to make those changes, but you know, sometimes they can be very worth it. And
absolutely. And I think sometimes we also need to let our kids be bored.
Yeah, I think when they're bored, they come up with other things.
Absolutely.
Actually, maybe that's not a good thing.
But it gives us a chance sometimes to daydream.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us a chance to notice details that we might not have otherwise,
mm-hmm.
and it gives us a chance to think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because sometimes our lives are so chaotic. Mm-hmm. We go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And this is, I think, the beauty of homeschooling, mm-hmm. is the fact that you can have those down days.
Yes.
And you can have those days where you don't really have to do anything.
Yeah.
And sometimes the best stuff comes out of those non-days.
Those are my very favorite days. I prefer those days.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, but going back to a couple of questions that we've received from parents, some parents really struggle, and I think they don't understand that it gets easier. So when you're homeschooling little tiny guys, it's a lot of work.
Oh, it's
a tremendous amount of work.
You pour yourself into bed at the end of the night, and you're just, some days you feel so deflated and tired.
Absolutely. Yeah. But we both noticed that as our kids have gotten older, it's gotten easier.
Oh,
they
yeah.
take charge of a lot more of their learning, and it gets a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are struggling today.
It does get better.
It does get better.
And it's exciting to see them taking their own path and their own choice and ownership.
Absolutely. And the more, and you have to remember that if they are coming from a institutional setting, you need to give them time to debrief, to de-school, to let go of the restraints that that placed on them. And you have to understand it's going to take them some time to find out who they are and what their interests are. But when they find them,
they run with it. They run with it. It's fantastic.
So listen, our next podcast, Squatcast number 21.
Squatcast number 21.
Yeah. Okay. Is going to be about work, play, and other essentials. I think that will be interesting because you know what? We do need to work. We need to play. And then there are some other pieces that fall into that. But we talk about balance. I don't know. I think sometimes when we're following our passions and we're doing the things we love, other people see it as work because it's not a passion for them. But it quite often is a passion for us. And so we dive in. Why, it's like our squat cast.
Woo!
I like doing our squat cast. And honestly, I'd like to thank all of you. The last couple of weeks, we have had quite a lot of people tell us that they listen.
I was frankly really surprised.
And we did have a couple of people who indicated they still thought we were drunk.
We're not.
We're not.
Sadly, this is it.
We just laugh a lot. So, from Diana Stinn
and Jill Mount,
we'd like to wish you a wonderful day and hope that you learn lots.
So long.
Bye for now.